Amen. And on this day, you can rely on Him. Amen. As we've been looking together the last several weeks, we've been looking at the pastoral letter of James to the church at Jerusalem, and then thus to the church universal. As you know, James is the brother of Jesus, stepbrother, half-brother of Jesus. They both had the same mother, different fathers, obviously. James knew Jesus all his life. As he became a follower, Jesus became the pastor at the church at Jerusalem. And the church at Jerusalem, being first church, you'd think had its act all together. But it had challenges. It had times that it was going through real struggles. It had times that it was sending folks out to literally the whole world to share the gospel message. And it needed to hear how to live in community, how to live in such a way to obey the Lord, how to be able to apply the Lord to our lives and the situations. And so from a pastor's heart who had been close to Jesus, he shares with the church some joyous truth and sometimes some ouch truth. We say amen at things and other things that we say ouch. This morning's one of those passages that's got a little ouch in it. I invite you to turn with me, if you would, to James chapter 4. Verses 13 to 17. Title of my message this morning is The Danger of Self-Reliance, or On Whom Do You Rely? Stand together with me, please, in respect to God's Word. James writing to the church, verse 13 of chapter 4. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go do this or that in the city. Spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we'll live and we'll do this or that. That's the key text in the whole passage. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As is, to boast your arrogant schemes, all such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. Sherry Eade, would you ask God's blessing on the reading of His Word? Yes. Man, you may be seated. This past week that you were in, and this coming week that you're fixing to face, you are going to be faced with challenges. Some challenges, some opportunities. And each of those challenges you'll have before you. An opportunity either to see dreams unfold, some might say, or to try to avoid nightmares. You'll find yourself in a situation where the challenge might be a challenge that's in your own personal life, a challenge that maybe that's in your family, a challenge on your job, a challenge within the church. And as you face those different challenges that we all face in any given week or on any given day, there's basically three different arenas are three different individuals that you can rely on in that time of challenge. The first one is to rely on yourself. Plan on it yourselves. Rely on yourself. It's like the little kid I can remember our nephew when we were first got married, and he was just a little tight. I can remember him saying, me do it. Me do it. Rely on yourself. The second one is plan on getting others to do it instead of you. The third is making plans under the leadership of the Lord walking in his obedience. In other words, relying on God. Let's look at those three different approaches. As James really talks to us, he centers in on approach number one, but the other two are implied, particularly as we see in verse 15. The first approach, relying on oneself. It's self-reliance is literally planning without God. If we look at verse 13, now listen, you say, today or tomorrow we're going to go to this city, we're going to spend a year there, and we're going to carry on business and make money. Nothing wrong with making plans. We all really need to make plans. We all should prepare for the future. But in the letter to the Romans in chapter 12, verse 17, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. What happens to our plans when we leave others and God out? Believers are to plan, and they quite often will think about it, if you rely on yourself, that you think that everything that you think of is correct. Every perception that you have is spot on. You set yourself up as judge, jury, and authority, and really set yourself up as God. What good or how far do plans go when a created being seeks to take the place of the Creator? The limits to the plans become evident. How true it is that if we don't do enough planning, a plan will not carry through. If we overlook things, that's the thing that's going to grab us. That's the thing that we're going to have to face. I can remember thinking back, being in church on a Wednesday night when they started the war, as it was the first Gulf War, and they were bombing Kuwait. Many of you probably remember right where you were. It was a Wednesday night. Our particular church, we gathered everybody around the front, and we prayed that evening. And then the next day, we started to see as it unfolded. It was a very short war. And in that very short war, the reason that it was short was all the planning that had taken place. It was not all planning that was all done by just General Schwarzkopf. Many were involved. Chaplains were involved in praying. Chaplains who were regularly called on. I don't know, Jeff might even have been in the room that they asked Jeff or one of Colonel Hawkins' other fellow chaplains to pray that God would lead them and guide them. Proper plans took place, and within 48, 72 hours, the war was over. But what would happen if we go into a major battle that each of us are going to face a battle in our own lives that will be on the scale of what that war was? Oh, it may not make the evening news. It may not be known worldwide. It may not involve many other people. But if we find ourselves just relying on ourselves for our resources, our capabilities, what we can do, me do it, me fix it, how short it'll fall. Sometimes we rely on ourselves and we've kept others and God out without even realizing that we've done it. You know, it always helps to ask for advice. It always helps, I believe, to start with prayer. Unless he's in on the beginning, it's not going to work. I'm not God. I don't need to take God's place. You're not God, and you don't need to take God's place in your lives. But those that rely on their own selves, who think it's their resources, what they can do, they look at it as if they don't have anyone to answer to, and they don't want anyone to corrupt what they're thinking. They don't want anyone to change their minds. They set themselves up as God and rely on their own capability and strength and resources to solve it. And then they'll know that the dreams will come true, and then they can take the credit for the dreams that will come true. Maybe part of the reason is that when a person relies on themselves, they don't want to share the glory with anybody else. They want the kudos. If it just happens to turn out okay. It's like they want to please him, themselves. Remember when we come to worship, we've said it often, he's the audience. We're the worshipers. It's not you're the audience and we're seeking to please you. It's not I'm the audience and it's seeking to please me. It's not that our guests are the audience and we seek to please our guests today. He's the audience. Lord, you're the audience in my life. As my life plays out before you, it's not what I can do. It's not the capabilities and resources that I have. I've lived long enough to find out that my resources fall short. But some folks haven't lived long enough to where they find out that their resources fall short, and it doesn't matter what age you are. Self-reliance is really a failure to rely on the uncertainty of life. If you look at verse 14, why do you not even know that it'll happen tomorrow? What is your life? It's like a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. As it vanishes, there's two reasons why tomorrows are uncertain. One, our minds are limited. We don't know exactly all of what's going to happen. Things can happen, and we maybe haven't relied on all the contingency. You've got your plans laid out, and what happens when your plans are all laid out, and then there's an accident that takes place, or there's an illness that comes in, or there's a relationship that gets broken, or there's death, or there's a financial crisis in the world around you. There's a relationship that it's hurting and bleeding, and people around can't function, and you find yourself that you can't function. And things that you thought had it all figured out and you had it all under control, it slips through your fingers. Our minds and nature are limited, and we don't see all the contingencies. Then he says our life is a vapor. I hate cancer. We lost a dear friend, and particularly a dear friend of Susan this week, to cancer. Life stops short. I hate car accidents. I hate going into the room of a family who's got a little one that's not even a year old, and they're facing the decision of that little one's not going to make it through the night. A lot of that stuff we don't understand. But if we rely on ourselves and we try to justify or we try to reason through that thing by ourselves, quite often we'll get the wrong idea and the wrong approach and we'll respond incorrectly. Either how we respond to that situation or to others, or we'll carry things in ourselves that we shouldn't have to carry because we had set ourselves up as the authority. In Luke 12, 16 to 21, it tells the story that Jesus gives a parable of a man who asked the question. And he told them this parable: the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store all of my crops." Then he says, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And I'll store my surplus grain and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool. This night, this very night, your life will be demanded of you. Then who'll get what you have prepared for yourself?" This is how it'll be with whoever stores up things for themselves but it's not rich towards God. When we rely on ourselves and think that we control the tomorrows, something's going to happen to cause us to suddenly realize we weren't in control at all. But we come to verse 15. Verse 15. Instead of saying, "Hey, I want to do this and do this, but to store up this for tomorrow so I can sit back and relax." Verse 15, "If it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. He is the Alpha and the Omega, not you or not me." Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount said it this way: "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." God is big enough to take care of ourselves, amen? He's big enough to handle the situation that we have. When we realize that it's more than self-reliant, when we boast or we brag or we show arrogance and we think that we're it, when we realize that God is God and He knows what's best for us and how to see us through, we realize that, like, just, I'll say my name, but put your, Mike had no business being God. You had no business being God. And in arrogance, there's kind of another one, a parable in Scripture that Jesus told. Remember the account of the rich young ruler that came to Jesus? Good teacher, what must I do? And Jesus started quoting to him some of the laws of the Ten Commandments. And he goes, aha, I've kept those. Good, good. What else can I do? And he thought Jesus would kind of say, hey, I want you to build this shelter on the corner there, or build this building, or do that, and we'll have something, and you can put your name on the cornerstone. And this charitable operation, this benevolent operation, people will go to that and they'll know that the rich young ruler gave that. That's what was going on in his mind. But Jesus said, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and come and follow me. Wait a minute. Jesus, don't you know I rely on all of what I got? Surely you're not going to ask me to give you everything. And it said the young man went away sorrowfully. He had it all figured out. Wrong. Self-reliance, as it says in verse 17, is a sin. When we sin, we need to confess our sin. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will cleanse us of our sins and forgive us from all unrighteousness. Amen? If we've committed a sin that we've tried to play God, we've relied on ourselves, God has said to us that if we'll confess that sin, He'll forgive us. If we've put ourselves on the throne room of our life. I remember the definition that Dr. Bill Greathouse, who was former president of the seminary and former president Trebekah and general superintendent, his definition of sin, little s, a big I in the middle and a little n. I need to get out of the middle and have Christ be on the throne room in the middle of my life. He's still in the sin cleansing business. And things just work better when He's on the throne. That's approach number one. Approach number two is relying on others to have all the answers for us. Here we kind of pass the buck. Here we kind of avoid personal responsibility. Maybe here we get lazy and we want someone else to do it. I guess the best parable that I saw that stands out in my mind to describe this is the one in, I believe it's John chapter 5, verses 1 to 15. The man who was at the pool of Bethsaida, who was the paralytic, and it had been known that the waters would at certain times be troubled, and the first one that would get into the water when it was troubled, that person would be healed. Jesus came up to this individual who was there at that pool at the colonnades, and he just asked him a simple question. Sir, do you want to get well? And the guy's answer was, I don't have anybody that can pick me up and carry me into the pool before someone else gets in the pool ahead of me. Jesus blew him away. Son, pick up your mat and walk. The guy was relying on someone else to be his answer. That's really a welfare mentality. Not that I have to do anything. I rely on someone else to be all the answers, all the needs, and meet all the needs. And it's not my investment. It's what they can do for me. The selfishness here is still, it's self-centered. You're not relying on yourself. You're relying on someone else. And you don't have the investment that you've put something into it. It's what they can do for you. The third approach is the approach that we see in verse 15, but it's implied in all of what James is saying to the church. Rely on God. We depend on Him before we go into a situation. We make plans and we trust Him in the challenges that we face. We seek His will and His way. And when we face those times of big need in our lives, we just say, God, this is what's going on, and we don't know how to handle it, and it ain't going to happen unless You help us. Will You meet us at our point of need? Is Monique here? Okay. She was going to share with us a testimony. And I'll share that testimony. We needed, last two Sundays ago, I told you, as we took the offering, that we needed $10,000 to come in by the end of the month in order to meet the bills. We had extra expenses. Taxes were due. Quarterly insurance was due, etc. And offering, I think, on the last Sunday of January, the last Sunday of December had been around $2,000, which was way low. January just was a month of extra expenses. We mentioned it in board meeting, and how you like sitting in a board meeting and you hear we've got all these bills and we need $10,000 before the end of the month, and you know what the offerings have been. Folks started praying. We've been praying. We'd prayed and asked God to lead us as we were planning for the things for the year. We'd begin and asking God to lead us as we were taking the steps of faith to do major repairs at the parsonage, and God worked all that out. We were praying that the Lord would take care and that offerings would come in the way that they needed to. We just, Lord, we believe that You're leading us down this road, but You're going to have to lead us the rest of the way. My understanding from what I was told was last Sunday, Monique had a little sticky note and she just put it like on the edge of the computer as they were starting to count the money. And you look on the back of your bulletin, you will see that on the last Sunday of the month, over $11,000 came in last Sunday. We were needing 10, but God gave 11. And a treasurer who has done such an incredible job of keeping bills paid and keeping us informed. A board that's been doing such an incredible job of praying and asking that God would lead us as we try to do ministry faithfully, was finding themselves in the midst of a miracle that was taking place. Relying on God. Do you know that churches can rely on God just like families and people, that God cares about the needs. God wants to see His ministry expand. He wants to see faith continue on, and He wants to see lives become encouraged where lives maybe have been discouraged. I don't know who all was in the counting room, but I kind of believe they didn't walk out. I think they floated out last Sunday afternoon. To God be the glory. Faith in God can move a mighty mountain. There's some individuals that's going to come and help me this morning, pass out what's in these baskets to the sections. If they would come now, I would appreciate that. We have bracelets to hand out to you this morning that really, and just take them and pass them through the row and see that everyone that would want one would have one. Right before Christmas time, Susan and I took off to go to Middle Tennessee, and I knew that I was getting ready to start back in the series of James after Advent, and knew that I had read through it and studied through it, and knew that this passage was coming up, and just had that on my mind. And Susan and I went to Middle Tennessee, and we were in a store. I went shopping with my son in a store, and a teenager was working the checkout counter at that store and waited on us. How many believe God can use a young person to speak to an old person's or an older person's heart? We were in this store in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And in this store, this young person had a bracelet on just like what you're seeing this morning. And they were the checkout person. And it was turned to where I saw frog. F-R-O-G. And I said, you know, I remember young people in our church that we used to have, I can remember WWJD, what would Jesus do? But I said, I need to ask you, what does frog stand for? You know, I didn't say, I remember WWJD. I just says, that's an interesting bracelet that you're wearing. Can you tell me what frog stands for? And the girl just kind of turned her wrist around like this to where I could see. And it said, fully rely on God. And I mean, I was just stopped dead in my tracks. Jared, my son, was paying for stuff, and I was just kind of standing there, and I stopped talking. I was just looking at that, and Jared continued on. He started to walk away, and he said, Dad, we got to go. We got other place. And I said, okay. And I said, where did you get that? She said, I got it at church. I just filed that away. And so we went on with the rest of Christmas. And I didn't even really mention this to Susan. I didn't mention to anyone else. I was just fully rely on God, fully rely on God. That was coming through to my mind. And so we get into January, and I'm back in after preaching on Advent, back into going in James' letter. And I knew that we would be coming to this passage, and particularly verse 15 of chapter 4. And said, that's the answer. That's the answer in our lives. That's the way to approach things. Not to rely on myself and what I can do to handle the problem. Not relying on someone else and asking them to handle it for me. With a welfare mindset, but handling it by relying on God. It's like Moses, I believe, and the children of Israel as they were leaving Egypt, and here's Pharaoh's army after him. There's the sea in front of them. What are we going to do now? He fully relied on God. He knew that God would lead them. And there came a point in which God had said, you got to take a step down into the water. But they were following God's word into the water. And God led 2+ million people safely over to the other side. God still loves the church today just as much as he did the children of Israel then. He still loves you and your family just as much today as he did then. To fully rely on him. He knows what time it is. Lord, we need $10,000 before the end of the month. And God gives us 11. I didn't even find out that total until this morning. You can't outgive God. You can't outlive God. You can't outdo God. Why might try to take his place? Why not rely on him? Now, I tell you what I'm going to do with my bracelet. I'm going to wear it. And I'll probably come to a situation on Tuesday afternoon that I don't quite know what to do. And I'll look at this and I'll realize that, Diane, I need to fully rely on God to help me with that. It could be that I'll be at a checkout counter at Walmart sometime this week. Just think of that. And somebody standing there in line, or the clerk, is going to say, what does frog mean? And I'll get to tell them. And we've got these bracelets. We got a limited supply, but we can get more. It could be that you might have to take your bracelet off and say, hey, here, you take this. I'll get me another one. And use it as a testimony. I think that God wants us, not just as we're starting the Vibrant Church Initiative, but throughout the rest of this year, that this would be a theme that would run through our church, run through our families, and run through our hearts. God knows exactly what you're facing. He knows exactly what you need. And He is the best one to rely on with our lives, with our loved ones, with our dreams and plans. You got to start with Him and stay with Him to hope to finish with Him. And you can rely on God. He won't let you down. Stand together with me, please. I'm going to ask this morning that all those that are a part of our Vibrant Church Initiative Steering Committee and those that are part of our church board, if you all would just come and either kneel here at the front or sit in the seats around the front as we come to prayer time. And I'm going to ask our good district superintendent, the pastor of this district, if he would to come and lead us. God's used Somerville Nazarene in the 60-plus years that we've been here, and God's not done with His church yet by any stretch of the imagination. And Dr. Eddie, we thank you for your leadership. We thank you for pointing us towards God. And I just felt like this morning, for us as we take the next step to be more like what He'd have us to be, that your prayers of intercession would be the prayers. And before we pray, there might be others that you just say, hey, Pastor, you don't have to tell me. If you're saying, hey, God, you know what I'm facing this week and the challenge that's in front of me. And I don't have all the answers. You could slip forward too and just say, God, I'm relying on you. Hey, I got these loved ones. Don't know what's going to happen. Maybe we got this situation medically and we don't know the answer. Or we got this situation financially and we don't know how to handle it. You can rely on God and He'll get you safely through. Let's come to Him in prayer, Dr. Estep. God bless you.
Father, we love you this morning. It's been so good to be in your house, to lift our voices together in song to you, to worship, to be reminded of your greatness and of your glory and your majesty, to sing our faith, our hopes to you. We give you thanks, Lord, for the invitation you've given us this morning to gather in your house, to meet with you, to worship you. We thank you for this message that we've heard that has challenged us, that's encouraged us, that's inspired us. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, that we can fully rely on you, for you are God. You created us. You created the heavens and the earth. It was by the power of your voice that creation came into existence, that you in your splendor and majesty, in your greatness, that your love would be such that you would desire to know us, each of us, individually, to have a plan for our lives, to have a will for us. We give you thanks for that this morning, Father. Thank you for this church. Thank you for those saints who, over the years, the history of this church, pastors and lay people alike, who have been committed, who've loved you, who've loved one another, who've bought in, Lord, to your mission to redeem your world and that the world could be transformed through the power and love of Jesus Christ. Thanks for the message, Lord, of this church and the ministry of this church. And Lord, this church, like so many others on our district and across our nation, Lord, longs to experience vibrancy, to experience new missional life, where everyone is sold out to you, Lord, is fully committed to you, as we sang this morning, loves you with heart, soul, mind, and strength, loves one another, and has a passion to reach their community. So, Lord, we do want to pray for this Vibrant Church Initiative team of this church and for the church board. Pray that as we gather together this afternoon and deliberate, that your Spirit would guide us, that you would help us to discern what is best, that we would know your will, Lord, that you would make your will known to us, that we would be able to discern direction and emphasis and exactly how to hone in on the aspect of the mission that this church would be best at, to be mindful of the gifts and abilities that you've given this church so that this church could have an impact in this neighborhood, in their mission field. Give us wisdom, Lord. Give us discernment. Give us passion and a willingness to follow you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then, Lord, give us an opportunity to make a difference in this mission field. I think probably Somerville, South Carolina, what folks are looking for is not just any kind of church, but a church that's willing to make a difference, a church that loves people, that warmly embraces people, no matter what their situation is, that shares the love of Jesus with them and points them to Jesus so that they might experience the Jesus that transformed our life. Thank you, Lord, for your transforming power. Thank you for this congregation. I pray that you'd bless every one of them. Bless them in their homes. Bless them in their work. Bless them at school. Bless them, Lord, in their standing up and sitting down. Bless them, Lord. And may it be obvious to their neighbors that you are smiling upon them with favor. This we pray in the strong name of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Amen.